Welcome to Conversations at the Crossroads, a ministry of Crossroads Church in Sandy, Utah, where we discuss topics related to scripture texts, theology, and the culture around us. We're glad you could listen in today. Come join us for the conversation. Welcome to another conversation. My name is Ken McCauley, and with me, as always, is Pastor Matt Imadi from Crossroads Church in Sandy, Utah. And Matt, I came across an article through Lifeway Research online recently that had some interesting ideas that I thought would be worth talking about and interacting with. The article is Stop Treating Easter Sunday Differently. Fairly timely, because as we're recording this, it's the week after the Easter service, by a fellow named Brian Boyles. Now, I want to be very clear that I'm not picking on him, that this isn't singling him out. I don't know him. I think that the article is certainly well thought through and well-intentioned. But the ideas, I think, are open for discussion. The gist of the article, I think it's fair to say, is we put all of this extra effort in, we being just the typical evangelical pastor, put all this extra effort into the Easter service. We know there'll be a bigger crowd. We want to make a good first impression, and other reasons come to play. Why don't we do that every week? Why don't we treat every week like Easter? And I think that just at that level, I get what he's saying, but I had some hesitations. And I know you read the article. Maybe start us off with how would you react to the idea of putting extra work into every other week and treating it like Easter?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think, like you said, I think some of the intentions and thoughts in this article are good in the sense that, hey, let's make every Sunday a Sunday where the gospel is being preached and we're clear and we've done our homework and we've thought through how the service is going to be structured. So like, those are good impulses. But really, what he's saying is, hey, we kind of go above and beyond on Easter. Let's go above and beyond every Sunday. And I think it boils down to really how we perceive what should guide what happens on Sunday morning and the significance of every Sunday and what we are doing is what the Bible calls us to do. So if you're in a church that makes a big production out of Easter, then you can see why you would have a category and a framework for thinking, okay, let's make every Sunday like that. But if you're in a church where every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, and every Sunday you are organizing around the service around what the Bible prescribes, then really your Easter Sunday is already going to look like every other Sunday for good reason.
Right. Now, I do think that this is beside his point, but the first thing that struck me is we do have a tendency to discard the aesthetic. And in this case, we don't want, in a sense that's different than what his main point is, so I just want to hit it very quickly, but we do want to treat Easter differently because we want to recognize that there is a special commemoration of an actual event that took place in history.
Right.
There is a sort of flavor of evangelicalism that is anti-holiday.
Yeah, sure.
And they kind of treat holidays with a bit of suspicion, even disdain. But I think it's important, while we don't want to have empty observances and a liturgical calendar that just marks off time, it's important that we recognize that there is a special commemoration that needs to take place on Easter.
Yeah,
we don't want it to be like every Sunday.
Yeah, and I don't think you can escape it. I mean, because everyone is thinking about it. It's on everyone's minds. We know this day is coming, and it's a day that is focused on a celebration that should be celebrated, right? The resurrection of Christ, and it's talked about in the broader culture. So people are already coming in with kind of a, excitement is not the right word to use, but they're kind of elevated in their expectation and just joy over the time of the year and what everyone is talking about and thinking about. So I don't think we need to set that aside and be dismissive of it. And
right.
I think we can recognize it and make it a point of emphasis and say, yeah, well, on the one hand, we do celebrate the resurrection every Sunday. That's why we gather on the Lord's Day, because Jesus rose on the first day of the week. So it's there, but it's going to be a special point of emphasis, and our songs are going to reflect that, and the sermon may reflect that, and so forth.
Right, and even the date is not accidental, and it's tied to very old traditions that we don't want to just set aside, and if we do set them aside, we need to recognize that there's a cost to that.
Right.
Now, to the author's point, what I picked up on in this article were two spirits that have saturated, I think, Southern Baptist churches that I think need to be exposed and at least challenged, maybe adopted in the end, but at least challenged. The first was in an early paragraph, he said, as a pastor, I fully understand the desire for everything to be just right when I know there will be a larger crowd than usual. We want to make a great first impression on all those who may visit. And I think he's right, but I think that that is a manifestation of a very pragmatic attitude toward this numbers-driven philosophy right. of church.
Yeah. It sounds like the kind of thing someone would say in referring to the seamless transitions, you know, between
flow.
Yeah, the flow of the service and, you know, everything being immaculate and, you know, everything just being perfect with no interruptions or mistakes or whatever to try to kind of impress people. Again, we want clean facilities. We want order and structure. Do everything decently in order. But the goal is not necessarily to put on a seamless, uninterrupted production. The goal is to do what God has called us to do in singing, in reading the word, in preaching. And we want visitors or people who are not usually there to be compelled, but we want them to be compelled by the truth, not necessarily the flashiness of what may be happening up front.
Right. And going along with that, he goes on to say, imagine what would happen if we put the same amount of effort and attention into every Sunday of the year, not just Easter. In fact, that is what I recommend for every pastor in every church. Now, he's going somewhere with that, but in transit to where he's going, and where he's going is we want to make sure that the gospel is center every week. We want to make sure that we put the same amount of work into it. But wrapped up in that pragmatic approach is this Martha versus Mary mentality. And the first scripture that I thought of as I heard him say, that's what I recommend, this extra effort is what I recommend for every pastor in every church. Martha, Martha, you're cumbered about with much serving, but
right.
Mary has chosen the greater part.
Right.
And yes, we want to make sure that the service goes smoothly without distraction. As Piper refers to it, especially in relation to music, we want that undistracting excellence.
Right.
We want to give God this beautiful worship. At the same time, we need to recognize that if we are wrapped up in this program-driven, Martha-esque mentality every Sunday, then we have a serious problem because Mary and her better part is missing.
Right.
We can't worship, really, when we're busy making sure that the sound levels on the sliders of the mixing board are all right.
Right.
And it needs to be done, but it just seems that this is too much of a push in too many of our services.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we don't hear enough that the gathering of the church on the Lord's Day, it is an event, but it's not a production. It's not a concert. You're not focused on the kinds of things that those venues, those people are focused on in pulling it off. You're focused on edifying the saints, on bringing the people who are there into the singing and the prayers. And so it seems to put an accent on the things that may be part of the circumstances in which you're gathering, but not the main focus.
Right.
And it may seem to put too much of an emphasis on that if you have just kind of an ordinary, I'm going to use the word unimpressive, gathering. Now, I obviously think it's impressive if the gospel is being preached and all that, but that you're not doing enough. But God works through that. I mean, he works through these seemingly ordinary ways to glorify himself and to draw people to himself.
Yeah. And I think, yes, we want to have attractive facilities, clean facilities. We want to make sure that everything is organized. But at the same time, when it when it's time to start the corporate worship service, we really need to be able to set all that aside and focus on Christ.
Yeah, and I think maybe a good example of how we can think about this in different ways. I think some churches with a mindset of like, hey, everything needs to be very appealing to the visitors who are going to be there on Easter might think things like, we need to make sure we have no, quote, dead space,
right,
or quiet space, or we need to limit the number of prayers or keep our scripture reading short because that's not going to appeal to people. Whereas those are actually the things we want to do. We want to have times where there's quiet for people to reflect. We want to have longer prayers that are going to edify the saints, not just for the sake of being long, but because we're praying to God and interceding on behalf of one another and the nations. And we want to have scripture reading so that the service is saturated with the word of God. These things aren't going to appeal to the natural man.
Right.
But God works through them to bring the natural man to salvation, or people will leave still hardened against it. But again, this kind of mindset of what we see more in kind of our evangelical culture, it sounds more like we need to do those things with excellence in order to be attractive to people who are coming and who are unbelievers with things that are going to make them feel excited about or attracted to.
Right. Rather than saying, here is worship as the Bible portrays it.
Right.
Now grow your desires and shape your desires until that is appealing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the one other point that he made just very quickly that I thought deserves some challenge. He writes, the greater goal is to make certain that the gospel is so well presented that whoever God sends to the church will know who Jesus is and why he came. If the gospel is unclear, then all that will have happened is some good entertainment in a tiny venue. It is gospel proclamation and clarity that turn a venue into a church. It is gospel proclamation and clarity that will impact someone's life for eternity. And I agree, but in the context of what we've seen in churches, in popular Christian writings lately, I'm concerned that the gospel is becoming just a broad catch-all, that the definition of the gospel is actually being clouded. Because I'd say that it is gospel proclamation and clarity that turn a venue into a church, I don't think that that is entirely scriptural.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Obviously, the gospel, the preaching of the word of God, creates the church. It's the word that creates the church. It's the word that gives life. But you can have gospel preaching at a big event or at a concert or...
Sure. And you have a prison ministry.
A prison ministry, right? That doesn't necessarily create the church. The church, yes, affirms and believes the true gospel, but it's also made up of believers who've covenanted together to administer the ordinances, affirm that true gospel, and protect who they are and who they're not. So there's a measure of authority. So yes, make sure the gospel is clear, but the church is more than the proclamation of the gospel.
Right. We have to be very careful that we don't lose sight of what is the gospel, the news of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in our place, on our behalf. If you have questions or comments that have come up because of this, do reach out to us at conversations@crossroadschurchutah.org.